From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Remember back in 2024 when a giant hole swallowed a significant portion of a sports complex in Alton, Illinois? Here's how a local NBC affiliate, KSDK, covered it.
Come to the screen and check out this video. That light pole just sinking into the ground, all of that dirt coming up. This is in the Alton soccer field, right in the middle of it. This is our drone video.
We experienced, obviously, a big sinkhole in the middle of our turf fields.
Alton Parks and Rec director Michael Haynes told Five on Your Side he was first made aware of the problem around 8 a.m.
By the time we saw it, it had already collapsed. Yeah, it was right around then. Whenever it kind of all went at once.
The collapse occurred in the middle of soccer field three, where teams of kids would typically be sitting. But thankfully, no one was hurt.
Yeah, fortunately, no one was injured, but soccer fans have had to take their practices and games elsewhere in the 18 months since. That hole is really something to see. It's about 120 feet wide based on the football field marks that were on the AstroTurf there. And slowly, over the 18 months, it is filled with water. But now it's finally getting drained. So to begin our program today, we're going to talk about how and why the sinkhole emerged, how worried we ought to be about the potential for more sinkholes, and what happens from here. Joining us now to talk more about this is Dylan Suttles, reporter with the Alton Telegraph. Dylan, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Also with us is Robert Bauer, principal engineering geologist for the Illinois State Geological Survey. Robert, welcome back to you as well.
Morning, Brian.
And listeners, you can join us today for the first part of the program at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, Dylan, I'm going to start with you. Beyond what I already mentioned there, how did this hole appear in the first place?
So what we know now, there seemed to be a certain anomaly of in the mining area that we're not quite sure exactly how it formed at the moment, but that's kind of where we're at right now in terms of how it happened. Luckily it was raining all that day, so there were no kids out there, so no one was hurt. But yeah, in terms of what caused the sinkhole, that's all we know right now.
Yeah. Can you just describe for us, again, beyond what I said? I mentioned 120 feet. I've heard 100 feet, some people say. But what did this thing look like? We're on the radio. People can't see it right now.
Right,
so just describe for us what it looked like.
So from a standing view, if you were standing like out in the soccer field, like over the fenced area, what you would typically see was like a giant dip that took a couple of the soccer goalies, and a lot of wrinkly AstroTurf, because it wasn't just like a, how do I describe, it wasn't a smooth hole. That's a terrible descriptor, but it wasn't like a smooth, like drop, you know. There was a couple of, indentations, you know.
Yeah. Around, and it's deep. It's deep, right? I mean, this thing is like, it's, yeah,
it is deep.
Okay. Yeah. So, Robert Bauer, let me bring you in. From a geologist's perspective, what can you tell us about what happened here?
Well, on that day, the roof gave way in the underground limestone mine, and they immediately called the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration, because in Illinois, the federal agency governs the underground limestone mines. The federal agency came in. They started, we gathered a lot of information that we had from the geology of the area, provided it to the people that were doing the investigations. And they kind of immediately came out and said that they thought there was kind of a flaw in the roof. It was a cavity that was filled with soil. And so that would make it weak. The mine at that location is about 170 feet below the ground surface. The mine itself, the openings are very large. Between the pillars, it's about 40 to 44 feet wide. That's the width of a four-lane road without any median. So having a pillar on one white line on one side and a pillar on the white line on the other side. And the height is someplace between 5 stories and 8 stories. So a person just standing down there is pretty minuscule. So that's where the material went. So there's a large open void for material to go if the roof was compromised.
Yeah, I think it would surprise people to think that your kids could be out on a soccer field, you know, Saturday morning or whatever, and meanwhile, miners are at work underneath them. Is this, how common is this in populated areas of Illinois?
Well, we have 11 underground limestone mines. You have, I can't remember how many underground coal mines, but the limestone mines, there's 11 of them. You have this one at Alton. You have one up at Quincy. You have one down at Prairie du Rocher. That's about 50 miles south of Alton. And the other 8 are in the Chicago area. So it's, and they're scattered throughout also the United States.
And can you remind us what is limestone used for?
It's mostly used to, they mine it out, they crush it. So it's your gravel, it's your aggregate. So it's a gravel on your driveway. It's the aggregate that goes into making concrete.
Okay. So it's like a raw material for other things. Okay. Dylan, what was the immediate reaction from Alton residents?
No, the immediate reaction was, from what I remember, was a lot of people were kind of surprised that there was mining going on under the park. But doing my research into, you know, exactly what was going on, that had actually been going on since the early 90s.
And what about the city? How did city officials respond? I could imagine people were pretty upset.
Yes. So their response, so they, from what I remember, the city blocked off access to the park to that morning after it sank, obviously, so no one could get in, because at that point we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know if it was just going to stay in a soccer field or if it was going to spread further. And I believe that afternoon they officially closed the park indefinitely.
Okay. Go ahead. And it's been closed ever since.
No, it actually opened back up.
Oh, it did.
Around 2 months. Well, the soccer field has been closed, no access to the soccer field, but the park itself, it opened after determination from investigations with New Frontier Materials, determining like the stability of the rest of the park. It opened back up minus access to the soccer field about 2 months later in August.
Okay, so the park's open, but yeah, that's quite an incentive to not go off sides, is to have a, you know, 120
yes.
foot hole at the edge
and
of your soccer field.
And the soccer field has been securely fenced off from public.
From public consumption. Okay.
Yes.
Robert Bauer, speaking of the geology here, so you mentioned different places in Illinois where these mines are and what they're used for. How common is it to have something like this happen, a sinkhole?
This is really uncommon for the current limestone mines throughout the state. In fact, the mines are so stable that they're used by industry. In Quincy and in Valmeyer, so that's about 50 miles south of Alton, are industries that have gone into these old limestone mines. The one in Valmeyer has a cold frozen food distribution center underground there, along with the National Archives that stores records. And there's about 200 to 500 people that work there. Same thing down in Quincy. There's the same thing. They even drive railroad cars into those mines there. So the only place that we see this happen, and it happened in Alton in 2011 on the west side, is where you're near the edge of this limestone that essentially is you're seeing the face of it along the river, the Mississippi River. That edge there, that limestone is very near the surface, and it's weathered, and it's not as strong. So there was a sinkhole in 2011 in the west side of Alton. And again, that one was right on the edge of the limestone itself there. And it was, again, it was about 100 feet wide and 100 feet deep. The other thing that the other one that took place over this specific mine was in 1990. This mine started as a surface mine that's about a mile west of the park, and then they went underground and below the then going to the east. And then one day they were blasting, that's a drill and blast to take that limestone out. The roof caved in. So they had a sinkhole there that was about 50 feet across and 80 feet deep, and they filled that and covered it over. But holes and sinkholes over the farther in the mines, we just really don't see those.
Is it, I mean, this maybe sounds like a facetious question, but if I'm working in one of these areas, this cold storage warehouse you mentioned for food distribution or the National Archives site, is that a safe place to work? I mean, why is that different from what happened here? Or are those at risk of collapse as well?
We're not sure exactly what happened here because the mine immediately went in and started drilling the area to see what the problem was there. They typically have about 50 feet of limestone roof above them, and then there's about 115 feet of glacial clays above that. So they went in and evaluated that. The report has not been made public. They want to keep secret as to their dimensions on their mining practice. These other places that have industries, they would be evaluated for their stability. It would be drilled out and evaluated by geotechnical firms to be sure that things are fine. Hmm.
Dylan, I understand eventually the hole started filling up with water, and some of the images of that are quite striking. It's like almost a little pond in the middle of this AstroTurf field. How did that happen?
So that particular year was a rainy season, and we've had rainy season since then. From the studies they have done, there was no risk of the sinkhole getting deeper at that point, like it hit a capstone, if that makes sense. And so they weren't really concerned about the water leaking and or making the hole worse. And recently, a couple months ago, they have been draining the water.
How do you do that? Is that a big line of people with buckets stretch into the Mississippi River?
That would be a striking photo, but no. It was an automatic pump that was, from my understanding, pumping 24/7, and it did that for about 5-6 days. To dump all the water out to the nearby drainage that was right outside the park.
Interesting. What is your understanding as to why it has taken so long to address this and, you know, potentially fill this in and get the soccer fields back, if that is in the plans?
Yeah. From what I know, there's a lot of legal stuff between New Frontier Materials, who is the people who do the mining in that area. There is, from what I've spoken to with people of the city, the mayor, they've been in good contact with the with New Frontier Materials. They've been New Frontier Materials has been cooperative with the city in terms of, you know, just taking accountability and, you know, wanting to do everything to try to fix this and make this right. Right now, because the water is drained right now, the city has taken out an outside source to do kind of like a general view of the area now that he can actually go into this sinkhole without swimming, basically, and just see exactly what needs to be done. And he's doing that as we speak.
And is there any question or like who's paying for this? Is this the mining company, the taxpayers? How's that working out?
The mining company. The idea is to have the mining company pay. From what the city's told me, the idea is to have the mining company pay for the for any repairs that will need to be done.
Okay.
And Yeah.
Okay. Let me just take a moment to remind listeners we're speaking with Dylan Suttles, who's a reporter at the Alton Telegraph, as well as with Robert Bauer, who is a principal engineering geologist, or the principal engineering geologist at the Illinois State Geological Survey. We are talking about the Alton sinkhole, how it formed, why it formed, how officials have responded, and what is next for this thing that has been there for 18 months now, taking up some soccer fields, rendering them unusable in the city of Alton. This was a limestone mine. We're going to talk a little bit more about that and how we ensure there's no danger to the public in the future about this. And we'll also talk about some other risks of sinkholes in Illinois having to do with coal mines. Though some of you live in cities where there has been significant mining in the past, even in the present, and you might have to have special insurance here. We'll talk more about that after a break. And then later in the program, Groundhog Day is coming up. The movie was filmed here in Illinois. There's a festival to commemorate that. That's all coming up after a break here on the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking about that giant sinkhole that opened up beneath a park, a soccer field in Alton, Illinois, how it was formed, why it happened, and how officials have responded, and what's next with the hole recently getting drained of water. We're talking about this with Robert Bauer, principal engineering geologist at the Illinois State Geological Survey, and Dylan Suttles, reporter at the Alton Telegraph. You can join us for just the next 5 minutes or so, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. So, Robert Bauer, tell me more about how mines like this do. What do they do to make sure, to try and prevent this kind of thing from happening, to make sure there is no danger to the public?
Well, it's not only a danger to the public, but it's also a danger to the workers that are mining in the ground. So an analysis is done as to the size of the pillars and the width of the entryways and the amount of substantial rigid bedrock is over the top of that, you know, the roof of that mine. So there's analysis that's done for that. And it's also kind of historically in the area, you know, what has worked and what's been safe.
And Dylan, so what happens next here? What is next for this sinkhole now that it's been drained? The park is, you mentioned that the park's open, but this area is fenced off. What's happening next?
Well, like I said earlier, they've hired this consultant from SCI Engineering Incorporated specifically to kind of enter the sinkhole and check it out and see exactly what needs to be done to repair the soccer field. One thing they had to do to basically remove a lot of the astroturf. So that also needs to be, so all the astroturf needs to be replaced. They obviously got to fill the hole, smooth it out, everything like that. As of now, there's no real timeline of when that might happen.
You anticipated my next question. I mean, so it sounds like we're not talking about weeks or months, but potentially, I don't know, a year or more. Who knows, right? I guess that's an open question.
An open question at this point, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Robert Bauer, I want to ask you about another, you know, Illinois, as well as limestone mines, it's even more well known for coal mines. What is the risk from that, right? In terms of how is the mining process different? You do hear about subsidence from time to time. Tell me about that.
Well, there's been something on the order of 4,000 to 5,000 underground coal mines in the state. But it's a very different mining method from the standpoint. Those entryways are really small. They're only a couple 20 feet across, and you could stand up in it, so it's about 7 or 8 feet high. The very shallow mines, even the very old ones, could have something happen just like this, where the roof breaks and caves in. But because the opening underground is so small, the feature at the surface is also, you know, much smaller, tens of feet across, and maybe as much as 10 feet deep.
Oh, that makes sense, because if it's you know, people can picture what a coal mine shaft looks like, whether they've been to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago or just seen a movie. You know, if there's only a small hole to collapse, then it's not going to be that. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, that's why you're not going to get like necessarily one of these 120-foot holes in Springfield where there was a coal mine, for example.
Correct.
Yeah. So tell me about what do we do? What do people do about that? Right. I know there's special insurance some people have to buy. Is there anything, you know, a homeowner can do to sort of guard against this?
Well, again, these sinkholes develop over pretty shallow mines. They're roughly as much as 160 some feet deep only. So it's pretty shallow. Our current mining operations are not that shallow. There is Illinois Mine Subsidence Insurance. And that's a separate, it's not a state agency, it's not handled by the state, it's handled by the industry. And Illinois has that available. It's not required. People could, and there's a number of counties where it's so much density of mining that's taken place, they kind of say that you have to have it, but you could sign a waiver to say, you don't want it. But this also takes care of what we have, what's called sag-type subsidence, which is a large depression that's maybe a couple of feet deep, but that goes over a couple hundred feet, and that's where the pillars crush out underground in some of these old mines. The Illinois Mine Subsidence Insurance is only, there's only two states out of the eight states in the nation that has this type of insurance. Illinois and Ohio cover all type of mining, not just coal mines. All the other states, all the other six states only cover coal mines.
What is the reason? I mean, it would be impractical to go back and try and find all 4,000 or 5,000 mines and like fill them in some way. That's out of the question. Is this something that's going to keep happening? Because you're picturing these mines from, especially from the 1800s, they were using wood, I'm sure, to prop things up. You know, over time that's going to give way. Is this sort of thing inevitable?
The wood just holds up the immediate roof. It's not holding up the whole entire overburden so that it would stop mine subsidence from occurring. Yes, I mean, it occurs throughout the state, and we'll continue to have these develop throughout the state. We have seen no time element with them from the standpoint, you know, there's been very few at the beginning after mining ceased to the time now. They just seem to keep happening.
Well, of course, geologic time moves at a quite different scale from our puny human time scale. So, all right, Robert Bauer, principal engineering geologist at the Illinois State Geological Survey, and Dylan Suttles with the Elton Telegraph. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. Appreciate your time.